In the first reading, we have a beautiful passage from Isaiah, one of my favourites, really, from the scriptures, telling us, come to the water, all who are thirsty. In making this call, Isaiah was acutely aware that not all is well with his people. Although he was writing for them 800 years before Christ, his words still resonate today. Just a few days ago, as you know, an angry mob stormed the Capitol in Washington because they disapproved of the result of the recent presidential election. They were really just the latest in a long line of groups of people throughout history who have tried to force their will on other people by dominance or aggression. So when John the Baptist echoes Isaiah's call for thirsty people to come to the water, he's not really talking about physical thirst. He's talking about the thirst that we all have for righteousness and peace and the desire to live in harmony. So he offers them a new way to resolve conflict, not blaming everyone else for what's going wrong, but facing up to our own faults and failings. He calls on everyone to repent of their sins and undergo baptism as a sign of cleansing, making a new start, and many did. However, no one was more surprised than John when Jesus, the sinless one, appeared before him for baptism. But Jesus insisted because he knew that to have any hope of redeeming mankind, he had to identify totally with it, go through the same temptations, trials and tribulations we all do, share our life, our food, our hospitality, our pain and our sorrow, while at the same time inviting us to share the life of peace, mercy and love that he'd come to bring in an attempt to get humanity back on its true course to the Father. His baptism, ratified by the Father and the Holy Spirit, was like a formal commissioning service just before he started his public ministry of dispensing love, mercy and forgiveness, the work that he was born into our world to do. 3 years on, he would ask his followers to do the same. A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. As you notice, that commandment is directly opposed to anything which advocates harming or destroying our fellow human beings. St. Paul tells us, we were baptized into Jesus' death so that we may live a new life. Our baptism, then, means that we too are commissioned to a life of service, in imitation of him, seeking out the good in our neighbour rather than his destruction. Not everybody, however, sees baptism as a commitment to anything of any sort. Some years ago, I went with my friend Pete Garside and his family on a canal boat holiday. It was brilliant, I have to say, although our seamanship did leave a little bit to be desired. Accidentally ramming another barge at top speed of 4 miles per hour, causing an outraged elderly couple to spill their gins and tonic. We had to negotiate quite a few locks, which meant closing the gates in the lower level, then opening the sluice gates in order to ascend to the higher level and so to proceed. Getting baptized is a rite of initiation. It's like entering the lower lock. There's enough water to float the boat, but not enough to take it up to the next level. What every baptized person needs to rise to the next level of faith is a regular top-up of sanctifying grace. Sadly, most of the children we baptize stay in the lower lock because the parents do not open the sluice gates, which allow the sanctifying grace of the Holy Spirit, otherwise known as the water of life, to flow in and take them up to the higher level of life with Jesus. Without that follow through from baptism to full participation in the Mass and the sacraments, the chances are that their undeveloped faith will have little influence on the major decisions they will have to make in their adult life, or that our Lord's new commandment to love one another as I have loved you will be their default solution for resolving conflict. More likely, their views on life will be influenced by likes and dislikes on Twitter, the cancellation culture which bans free speech, or in the worst case scenario, mob violence, which you've just seen, can happen anywhere, even in one of the world's leading democracies. For those who think it's too difficult to commit, remember that Christ has been there before you and negotiated the locks, so knows well the sort of difficulties that you will have to face. Remember too that he will be with you every step of the way, and there's nothing to lose and everything to gain.